Okay, today is April 20th, 8th of ER, and we are continuing through chapter 2, which is a very long chapter, so I think we're going to get through all 6 psukim. Hi, Mora Nozenchuk. We just started, so you didn't miss
Sorry.
anything. We just started. So we read through some of these psukim yesterday, but I think it's worth repeating them and reading through the whole thing just to get context of how they may or may not be connected. So, Vayikrevu Yimei David Lamut. David's days came close to dying, Vetzav et Shlomo b'no l'mor. And he charged his son Shlomo, saying, Anochi holach b'derech kol ha'aretz v'chazakta v'ayita l'ish. I am going in the way of all the earth, and you must be strong and be a man. V'shamarta et mishmeret Hashem elokecha. And you should keep the charge of the Lord your God. It's interesting that they translate both Vayitzav and Mishmeret as charge here. So just pointing that out, that Tzav is more command, Mishmeret is more guarding. To walk, to go in his ways, Lishmor Chukotav, to guard his Chok. We're going to discuss the differences between all these words in the commentaries. Mitzvotav, his mitzvot, mishpotav, you can, it has the word shofet, the judgments, the edotav, and his testimonies. Edut is testimony, ed is witness. Kakatuv b'torat Moshe, as are written in the Torah of Moshe, laman taskil et asher ta'aseh, ve'et kol asher tifneh sham. In order, it says prosper here in the translation, which I actually like. Some might translate it as succeed. In order that you prosper or succeed, the Malbim is going to tell us the difference, how it's not really success. In everything that you do and wherever you turn, the Malbim is going to differentiate between those two as well. Laman yakim Hashem et devaro asher diber elai. And in order that Hashem will uphold what he said to me, saying, Lemor, Im yishmeru vanecha et darkam, lalechet lefanai be'emet, b'kol levavam u'b'kol nafsham. So if your children will guard their way to go before me in truth and with all their heart and with all their soul, and as Louis pointed out, I actually included a couple psukim from Devarim just to see how Deuteronomic, if that's the word, these psukim are. Lemor, so you'll notice the double lemor there. Lo yikaretz lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael, that a man, there will be no one cut off from you on the throne of Israel. I also want to point out, which I did not highlight, this lama'an and this lama'an. So you're going to guard all these things above in order that two things: one, you'll prosper, and two, Hashem will uphold his word. So those are two different things that Malbim is going to explain. And then we get
Sorry,
in.
Stacey, I
Yeah.
just wanted to point out, yes, I think you just had a slip of the tongue. You said ally. It's actually ally because it might have a bearing,
Oh,
concerning me.
yeah. Where was that?
In Dalet at the second line on Lamanya
Oh,
Kimashemet
ally. Thank you.
Parashah Dibet ally.
Ally. Okay, so that he said. Okay, good. Upon me or about me. Good. How do they translate it here? Concerning me. Good. Thank you. Yes. It is not to me. It was concerning me. Vigam atayadata et asher asali Yoav. So now we get into this. It's a question why it's connected here. Why do we have the Samech here after this command concerning Yoav? If you look at the whole chapter, which we'll continue with next week, you'll see that David is going to command Shlomo regarding other past friends and foes and what to do with them. So the question here is, why is Yoav part of this parshia, part of this section? Why do we have the separation after Yoav? How is carrying out David's command concerning Yoav connected with keeping Hashem's Torah? Something that we'll see in the Radak in the Malbim. So Vagamata Yadata et asher asa li Yoav ben Tsruya. So you know what Yoav the son of Tsruya did to me, asher asa l'shnei sarei tzivot Yisrael, and what he did concerning two officers of the armies of Israel. So it seems to be three things here. One, that Yoav did to David personally, and two more, what he did to the two officers of Israel, Avner ben Ner, who was related to Shaul and was the general for Shaul's army, and later his son, Ishbosheth, Ula Amasa ben Yeter, and also to Amasar, the son of Yeter. Yeter is married to Avigail, one of David's sisters. David had two sisters, Avigail and Tsruya, that we know of. And so this is David's nephew, and it's the cousin, first cousin of Yoav. Different siblings of David are their parents. And Amasa joined with Avshalom's forces and was the general of Avshalom's army in his rebellion against David. And we're going to see this in the commentary. But David, and we don't know if it was correct or not because Yoav ended it, David, in his militaristic and leadership wisdom, decided to appoint both Avner and Amasa to positions in his own army after reconciling, or after Shaul died. He appointed Avner, Yoav killed him, and after the rebellion with Avshalom was over, David appointed Amasa, and Yoav killed him as well. So David had these plans of bringing peace and unity that Yoav thwarted, and he killed them. Vayesem demei mechama v'shalom. So you placed the blood of war in peace, vayiten demei mechama, and you placed the blood of war bechagorato asher b'matnav in the what was girded around his loins, ubinna'ala lo asher b'raglav, and with the shoe that was on his feet. So these are, we're going to see that they're actually quite literal images in terms of how Yoav conducted himself. Vasita kechokhmatecha, and you shall do according to your wisdom. Velo torei tzivato b'shalom sheol, and you shall not let his gray hair, says hoary head, in peace to down to the grave, sheol, the underworld. Okay, so again, why is this part of the same paragraph? You would think that we would have this very nice charge to keep all the mitzvot of Hashem, and then we would start a new paragraph with this charge about Yoav, which is very different type of charge. So we're going to see how they might, may or may not be connected. Okay, so I just wanted to show you, and there's more than just this one example, of Devarim and similar language. Hayom hazeh Hashem lokecha mitzavecha lasot et hachukim ha'ele v'et hamishpatim v'shamarta v'asit otam b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. So all of these images are used in what we've read above. On this day, God is commanding you to do the chukim, these mishpatim, and to guard them and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. And again, as Louis pointed out last time, the only time we have me'odecha, I think, is in the first paragraph of the Shema. Et Hashem ha'amarta hayom liyot lecha l'Elohim. You have chosen Hashem today to be your God, v'lalachet bedrachav, and to go in his ways. Again, the same as David says to Shlomo, v'lishmor chukav mitzvotav mishvatav, and again, these different categories of things that you have to guard, v'lishmo abikolo, and to listen to his voice. So it indeed is very Deuteronomic. Okay, so the Mitzvah David is going to break up all these different things for us. So Mishmeret Hashem, the charge of God, hadvrim asher tziva Hashem l'shamram, ve'al binatcha al tish'an. So these are things that God commanded you to guard, and don't lean on your own wisdom. Okay, so meaning you just have to listen to what God said because God told you to do it. Lalachet bedrachav, to go in his ways, liot rachum v'rav chesed kamohu. So this has to do with being merciful and full of chesed, just like he is. Chukotav, so what's a chok? Hem ha-mitzvot shalo nitgalu tameham behema kechok u'gzera. These are the mitzvah where it's not revealed to us their reasoning, and they are like a chok, which is a word for law, and a gzera, a decree. So we just do them because God told us to do them. The most famous example is the para aduma, the red heifer, which we don't understand. Kashrut is another one, and so is shatnas, wool and linen. Mitzvotav, Mashabin Adam Lamakom. So a mitzvah is something between us and God. Mishpatav Mashabin Adam Lachaveiro. Whereas Mishpatav, which you see Shofet judges things that we rule on human beings, that is between man and his friend. Be'edotav, testimonies, Ham HaMitzvot Asher Ta'ameham Ha'id Al Nifla'ot Hashem. These are the mitzvot that their reasons is to testify on the wonders of God, Kishabbat U'Mo'adei Hashem V'Hadamim. So that would be Shabbos, the festivals, and similar things to that. L'ma'an Taskil, so that you will prosper. Ratzal Omar Kishetishmor Kol HaMitzvot. He wants to say that when you keep all of these mitzvot, Taskil od meham et kol asher ta'aseh. You'll prosper even more with everything that you do. Mehadivri masher lo namru b'Torah. From things that weren't written in the Torah, ki meham chokma tikach lavod et Hashem. Because from the mitzvah, you're going to take the wisdom to serve God, and you'll everything you do, whether it's written in the Torah or not, will then come through that. Okay, the last one is just saying there's some repetition. So now the Malbim, we're going to read the Malbim up until the Yoav situation. Anochi Holech, so this is from the beginning, so that when David's saying he's dying. Shlomo haya be'etahi ledat mefarshim ben yud bet shana. So Shlomo at that time was 12 years old when he took over to be the king. The Abarbanel apparently puts him more at 20, but the rabbis put him at 12. Ukmosha Katuv, as it's written in Divrei Hayamim, Shlomo Bini v'chulei na'ar v'rach. So David there addresses him as this young boy. Ubiot David chai, and while David was still living, amad liyamino, Shlomo would sit to his right side, which indicates importance, ben b'hanhagat ha'am, whether it was to see how David ruled the nation, ben lilamdo Torah u'musar, or whether it was to teach him Torah and ethics. Amar le, ki bioto muchan lalachet b'derech olam, so that he would be ready when he was ready to go into the next world. Sarichu lihitchazek b'atzmo, he needed to then have his own strength, ben b'hanhagat ha'am, whether it was in ruling the nation, v'hayita l'ish, and he needed to be a man, kira'ui l'moshal memshal rav, to rule a large governing body, Bal yir'ah mipnei kol, and that he wouldn't be afraid of anybody. Gimel v'shamarta, and you should guard. U'bahan haga b'davrim shebein adam l'makom. So now, when it comes to behavior with things between you and God, yeh behefech, it needs to be the opposite. So whereas between man and man and ruling, he needs to be very strong. With God, it's the opposite. Like we see in Pesukim, im lo shiviti v'domamti nafshi, Kigmol alai imo. I swear that I calmed and quieted my soul like a suckling on its mother. And the continuing of the verse is like a suckling was my soul with me. Yeki katan. So when it comes to God, you should be like a small child, asher imo tanchehu bekol tzadav, that his mother is comforting him on all sides. Ken tishmor mishmeret Hashem kakatu b'torat Moshe. And thus you'll guard the, you'll keep what's written in the Torah Moshe. V'lo tismach al binatcha, and you won't rely on your own understanding. So when it comes to people, be strong. When it comes to God, you can be like a little boy with his nursing mother. U'mefaresh alechet bedvarchav, and what does it mean to walk in his ways? And here he's very similar, the Malbim, to what we read in the Mitzudat. Hu be'inyanei hamidot, so to walk in God's ways means in matters of character traits, mahu rachum v'chanun erech hapayim, just as he is merciful and slow to anger, she'elahem drachav, these are his ways. V'lishmor chukotav, so this is the chok, v'mitzvot she'ein behem shum ta'am, these are mitzvot that don't have any reason, mitzvotav, hem mitzvot she'yesh behem ta'am, so here, mitzvotav, the mitzudat, translated as between man and God. The Malbim is saying these are mitzvot with a reason. So do not kill, do not steal, things that make sense. Umishpatav, b'mitzvot shebein adam l'chaviro. These are the same as the mitzvot says, things between fellow human beings. Ve'edotav, b'mitzvot tamidim achidush ha'olam. These are the mitzvot that testify to the renewal of the world, v'yitziat Mitzrayim, and coming out of Egypt. Kamo ha'shabbatot ve'amoadim v'kodomeh. like Shabbos and the holidays. So similar to Malbim, but giving added meaning of them testifying to the renewal of the world and coming out of Egypt, the miracles. V'rach kakatuv b'Torah Moshe, and only that is which is written in the Torah of Moshe, below tosefet u'megrat, without adding or taking away. U'kmo shekatuv lebilti sur min hamitzvah, yamin u'smol. Just like it's read in Devarim, do not go right or left from the mitzvah. Do it correctly. Laman taskil. So we've been translating this as prosper, in order that you'll prosper. Amar shebezeh tarviach b'shtayim. So if you follow in all the ways of God and the Torah, in this way you will succeed in two things. Sorry, I just lost my place. Okay, echad, the first one, mitzad etzem hamitzvah, from the essence of the command, she'al yadav taskil et ma'asav, that when you keep the commands, you will prosper in your actions. V'kfar be'arnu she'ish havdel ben matzliach u'ben maskil. So the Malvim had already explained, I don't know where, that there's a difference between lehatzliach, hatzlacha, which is what we say to people, like good luck, right, success, ubein maskil, and prospering. Shehatzlacha tluya b'mazal, because hatzlacha is dependent on luck, and that's even how we translate it. B'hatzlacha, we translate as good luck. We never really think about it, that luck is sort of the fates. It's not really, it doesn't have a sense of God watching out for you. V'ha'haskala tuliya betov seichel ha'adam lifchor ha'emtzayim ha'tovim tamid. So haskala, because it has to do with seichel, which is wisdom, it's therefore not just luck. It depends on your good, the wisdom of man to choose good, always the right choice, a good intermediary. And this will teach you the mitzvot of the Torah and its decrees. There are those who have this haskalah in what they do, but not in where they turn. Because when they turn to seek out the intermediaries, the way to achieve this prosperousness, he's going to find many of them are not good, and he's going to abandon them until he finds a good means in which to achieve his prosperousness. And he'll go with them, and then he'll be prosper in his way. But there are also those who prosper in wherever they turn. Shegam im yivchar emsaim bilti movilim el hatachlit. Even if he chooses a means that's not going to bring him to his purpose, yeshivum besichlo letov, he will manage to take that bad choice and turn it so that with his seichel, with his wisdom, into something good. So we've all found ourselves sort of like making the best of the situation, and you eventually achieve your goals, even if you didn't seem to be on the right path. In such a way that he'll actually be able to grasp what he was seeking. And that's why David says to him that you should prosper in any which way you turn. So let's just look at the pasuk again so you can see. So, okay, right here. So you're going to keep all of these laws in order that you prosper in everything you do and everywhere you turn. So the reason for both of those is that, of course, you'll prosper in everything you do by keeping the mitzvot, but you might make a wrong turn somewhere, and David's wishing that he'll still prosper. Even if he makes the wrong turn, he'll be able to make the most of it. Okay, so now we're on Dalet. Lama'an. So this was, I pointed out to you, it says, for the sake of, twice. So the first one was that you'll prosper. And the second one was that he's going, let me just show you that again. So we had Lama'an, so that you'll prosper in everywhere you go and everywhere you turn. And then we also had Lama'an, that Hashem will upheld what he said, that if your children keep this path, then he won't undo this covenant and they'll be on the throne forever. Okay, so now the second Lama'an. Lama'an, Sheni Tarviach Mitzad Hashem. You'll also be successful from the aspect of God, HaMitzaveh, who commands, V'shehivtiach li, Malchut Kayamet L'dor Dorim, and who promised me this enduring reign for generations. V'tal'a B'tanai, and he hangs it on a condition, K'mo Shekatuv, like it says in Tehillim, if your sons keep my covenant and this my testimony, which I shall teach them, also their sons will sit on your throne forever. So that sounds exactly like what we read here, that David wrote in Tehillim, that it's an if-then statement. It's conditional. Ubamasha tishmor mitzvot Hashem, in that which you keep the commandment of God, behechrach yakim Hashem et devaro, then Hashem will be forced to uphold his word. Behagam she'en lasot ha-mitzvot al-manat lekabel skar. But also, you have to be careful not to keep the mitzvot just to receive a reward. Hine b'zeya kavana l'man yuchal Hashem hakim et devaro. Because this is the intent of that Hashem, in order that Hashem will be able to uphold his word. Ki Hashem rotze b'ze, God wants us, she'ivne kisei David l'dor v'dor, that the throne of David will be built for generations. V'ze atzmo ratzon Hashem, this is what God wants, this is the will of God. B'inyan shema she'yase ha-mitzvot al tachlit ze, hu gam kein al tachlit she'yachol Hashem l'mal'ot devaro. So in the matter that if you keep the mitzvah for this purpose, then also it's the purpose that Hashem will be able to fulfill his words. Sh'ze ratzon Hashem, this is the will of God. U'kmo she'katuv, like it says in Bereishit Yurchet, we actually saw this pasuk before, when we talked about how God gives over to people who he knows will continue that they will teach it to their children to continue his ways. And this is from when Hashem decides to reveal that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah to Abraham. It says, L'man asher yitzavet banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem, that he will command his sons and his household after him, and they will guard the way of Hashem. L'man hevi Hashem al Avraham et asher diber alav, in order that he'll bring to Avraham that which he spoke to him. Uma shekefal milat lemor, so why does it say lemor twice? Yirmoz b'zama shekatuv chazal, it hints at what Chazal said in Brachot, shekol mida tova sheyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any good attribute that comes out of the mouth of God, afilu al tzanai lo chazar bo, even if it's on a condition, he's not going to renege on it. Ki ma'amaro yitbarach hu ha-mevi ha-davar al ha-metziut, because it's his word, God, blessed be he, that brings the thing into reality. Ve-ha-tanai lo yechol la-hashiv davar she-ne'amar mi-et Hashem. But when it comes to the condition, you can't go back on anything that was said from God. Amar ki po lo yiyaken. So he said, this is not going to be the case. Hashem will be able to renege. How do we know that? Ki hikdim et ha-tanai al ha-ma'amar. Because he made the condition come before the statement. Ki ilu amar, as if he said, im yishru b'necha et darkam, if your children keep their ways, as then he will say, lo yikaret lecha ish. There will not be a person cut off from you. So Malbim is saying that the double lemor there is switching it around so it's not a condition that God can't renege on, but rather he will be able to. That is to say, then it will be decreed thus. After you fulfill the condition, then it will be stated. And once it's stated, it can't be reneged. But if you don't fulfill the condition, lo amar klal, then it's as if God didn't say anything. Lo yetza midat tova zo mipiv, this good attribute that normally can't be reneged on, it will be as if it never came out of his mouth. Okay, so now, any questions? Because now we are up to the Yoav affair. Okay, so this is a piece of a midrash that we're going to see more when we actually see Shlomo killing Yoav, or Shlomo carrying out the decree of his father to get rid of Yoav, which might not have been what David was saying. We're going to see different opinions. But here's part of the Midrash. Belama neharag, so why was Yoav killed? Shekach tzivahu David aviv. This is what David, his father, commanded. Shenemar, and it says in our pasuk, v'gam atayadata et asher asali Yoav ben Tzruya. You know what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. Ma asala, what did he do to him? At motzeh b'sha'a shekatav David leYoav, havu et Uriya amul pnei hamilchama. So he says, when David wrote to Yoav to put Uriah, the first husband of Bathsheba, in the front lines, so this was David's plan after he'd slept with Bathsheba, to have Uriah killed on the front lines so that retroactively Bathsheba would have been a divorced woman and she would not have been committing adultery by having slept with David, because all of the men of war gave their wives gets that would be retroactive from that time when it was given to them if they didn't return from war. So he puts him at once, he wants Yoav to put him on the front lines. V'asa kein, and Yoav did it, v'nherag, and Uriah was killed. V'nit kaptsu kol rashe hachayalim al Yoav lehargo. So then all of the heads of the soldiers gathered upon Yoav to kill him. Shaya rosh hagiburim, because Uriah was this amazing soldier. As we read in Shmuel Bet towards the end in Perek Kaf Gimel, Uriah Chiti al Shloshim v'Sheva. Uriah the Chitit was over 37. He was a big ruler. Her Elaham Yoav et Katav. So what did Yoav do? He saw them, showed them this letter from David asking Yoav to put him on the front lines and therefore exposing the entire incident to the public of what happened. Lefichach Kativ, and therefore it's written, Et asher asali Yoav ben Tzruya, that which Yoav, the son of Tzruya, did to me. So that's the root of this, what he did personally to David. Okay, Rashi, we'll just read in English. He's going to refer to this midrash. You also know what Yoav, the son of Tzruya, did to me by showing them the letter which David had sent through Uriah, and shed the blood of war in peace. Since they were at peace with him, they were not on guard against him. And this is talking about Amasa and Avner, that it was at a time when David had made peace with them, and so they weren't on guard. And he put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins. So Rashi's going to take this literally, based on the Psukim and Midrash. He had girded his sword attached to his loins, not in the customary manner of those girding swords, and he went out to meet Amasa. He turned the opening downward so that it should easily fall out of the sheath to the ground, as it says, and he went out towards Amasa, and it fell out. As soon as it fell, Yoav nonchalantly retrieved it and held it ready in his hand. Amasa presumed he retrieved it solely to pick it up from the ground and was not alert to guard himself against an attack from the sword which was in Yoav's hand, and indeed Yoav killed him, unsuspecting. Okay, so now the Radak is going to comment on what this story of Yoav has to do with the previous Psukim. Vigam ata, vigam, so it's very interesting that the Pasuk starts with the word vigam, and also. Vigam lirabot al mitzvot Hashem. So, and also, this is actually included in the commandment of God, Asher tzivahu lalechet b'darchei Hashem, who commanded you to walk in the ways of God. Amar, he said, v'gam zot hi midarchei Hashem. This too is in the ways of God. Leva'er anshei harasha, to get rid of evil people. Okay, so it's a continuation of this very nice speech and command to do the will of God. Getting rid of Yoav is part of pursuing justice and doing the will of God. Ki ata yadata et asher asali Yoav, because you know what Yoav did to me. O yeah, v'gam ata yadata kamo she'ani yodea, ve'eini tzarich lehodiacha ela tzavchatcha alav levaro min ha'olam. Or it will be, and also you know, just like I know, and I don't need to tell you, rather, I only need to tell you to carry out on him to get rid of him from the world. So he's giving two explanations. He's either saying, Vigam Ata, is a continuation of the justice that you pursue in the ways of God, or vigam ata, meaning, and you also know what Yoav did to me, and I don't need to spell it out for you. Asher asali, perish asher asal l'shnei sarei tzva'ot Yisrael. So the Radak is offering that it's not something Yoav did individually to David, but rather it's just that by getting rid of these two officers, Avner and Amasa, he's essentially doing something to David. Bili asa masha asa lahem, ki Avner ani hivtachtiv v'kibaltiv ba'avati. And in terms of what it did to me, because what he did to them, because Avner, I promised him and I received him with my love. Amasa gamkin haya b'shlichuti, and Amasa was also on my mission. This was in the pursuing of Sheva ben Bichri, who was leading a rebellious army after Avshalom against David, that Amasa was charged to go catch him. Umasav anshe Yehuda elai, and the people of Yehuda has turned to me. B'yesh, so that was the Amasa. B'yesh mefarshim asher asali, and there are those who explain what Yoav did to me, sheharag Avshalom, that he killed Avshalom. So this was the individual thing that Yoav did to David, not the exposing of the letter, he's going to bring that also, but that he killed Avshalom when David had explicitly told him not to in Avshalom's rebellion. But if you wanted to go according to that explanation, Radak is pointing out that it's not grammatically correct and you'd have to have a vav in that where it would have to say ve asher asa and what he did. So he rejects that. Ubidrash asher asali sheher a hasefer sheshalach lo David ben Orya. And the other explanation is in the Midrash that he showed the book or the whatever that David sent Yoav concerning in the hand of Uriah to put him on the front lines. L'shnei sarei tzva'ot, tzivot Yisrael, to the two officers of Israel, of the army of Israel. Ki Avner haya sar tzava, Avner was the general. Ve'amasa samahu Avshalom sar tzava. And Amasa, Avshalom had placed him as the general. And David had in mind to appoint him as the general afterwards, as Sar Tzava, as the general in place of Yoav, because he was already losing trust in Yoav at that time. And also because Amasa was very well respected and great in Yehuda, Sar Tzava Yehuda, and he was the general of Yehuda. And it's also written about him, he was able to unite all the men of Yehuda together. V'yahargim b'shalom, v'ta'amo im v'yahargim klum, v'yahargim b'shalom. So it would be enough that he killed them, but he killed them in peace. V'sam otam dame ki'ilu hayu dame milchama. And he placed their blood as if he were in war with them, the blood of war. O perush, or you can explain it, v'yasam dame milchama, dame asa'el, shahayu dame ha'milchama, ki asa'el rodef haya le'avner. So, if you remember, Avner had to kill Asael, who was another one of David's nephews, who was chasing Avner, and would have killed him had he caught up to him. But Avner was able to kill him first, and that's when Yoav killed Avner, because he killed his, I forgot if it was cousin or brother, Asael, all in the same family. Samoto kidzmei shalom. Ki'ilu harag Avner la'asael b'shalom. So it's as if Avner, Yoav, so they're taking this blood of war, blood of peace. Yoav is making it look like Avner killed Asael in peace, and then nakam nikmatomi Avner, and Yoav was just avenging his blood. V'gam kein hargo b'shalom, and therefore he also killed in peace, and neither should be, and he shouldn't be culpable. Ki lakchod l'daber imo v'lo nishmar m'menu v'amasa gam kein harag b'shalom. She'amar lo ha'shalom ata achi. So Yoav is pretending that Avner didn't have a reason to kill Asael, even though he was being pursued. And then he also killed Amasa by way of peace, because he said to him, how are you, my brother? And he held onto his beard to kiss him. And he had no taina, he had no reason to kill him. So he placed their blood, these bloods that he did to them, as blood of war. Natan otam bechagorato asher b'matnav k'mo she'nemar ve'alav chagor cherev mitzumedet lo. And so, explaining how he did this upside down way of doing his belt with his sword so that it would fall out, and it's just explaining how he tricked Amasa and killed him in that way. Okay, so now the Mashiach Chochma. I don't know if we'll have time to get rid of the rest of the Malbim, but I actually wanted to do the Malbim leading into the other things in any case. So we might end with this Meshech Chochma. And Meshech Chochma is a commentary on the Torah and also on the Haftarot. And as we mentioned before, this is the Haftarah of Parshat Vayechi. Asher asa l'shnei tzarei tzivot Yisrael, that he did to the two officers of the armies of Israel. Hine yitachen dehaya noda mehanuvoa leDavid asher biyamav lo yivne habayit. So it's possible that it was known through prophecy to David that during his lifetime lo yibane habayit, the temple would not be built. Ki im Shlomo yivne, Shlomo would build it. Ki ish menuchahu, because he was a man of rest. Ubeit Chanukah yitkadesh bikvod Hashem yitbarach. And at the time of the dedication, it would be sanctified in the honor of God. U'kmo she'amar, v'nikdash b'kvodi. Just like it says with regard to the Mishkan, and it will be sanctified in my honor. V'chein lebeit olamim, so too would it be for the temple. V'lechein matzanu she'sharta shechina b'vinyan Shlomo. And we found that the Shechina rested on the building of Shlomo, the temple. V'yar kohayam v'yaronu. This is from Parsha 2 weeks ago, Shmini, at the dedication of the Mishkan, the entire nation saw, and they, Yaronu comes, they rejoiced in great song. Kamo b'mishkan b'mei Moshe, just like in the Mishkan, the days of Moshe. So that also happened in the time of Shlomo. V'zeh b'melachim kam. And that is, I don't know what that's referring to. U'shvichut damim misaleket hashchina. But the spilling of blood removes the Shechina. Kamo she'amar b'sof mas'e b'sifrei, like it says in the Midrash, al pasuk ki ani Hashem shochein b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I am God who dwells among b'nei Yisrael. B'chein amar b'divrei hayamim, aleph, kafchet, gemel, and it also says in divrei hayamim, lo tivne bayit l'shmi, you will not build a house in my name, ki ish mechamot ata v'damim shafachta, because you are a man of war and you have spilled blood. So now this is interesting, and the Meshech Chochma, this caused me to ask a question that I'm not sure if the Meshech Chochma is asking himself or addresses, but David was not allowed to build the Beis Hamikdash because he was a man of war and he spilled blood. And now at the end of David's life, he's asking Shlomo to spill blood. And how is this going to impact him in his ability to build the Beis Hamikdash? So the Meshech Chochma doesn't exactly answer that, and he raises some more questions. But this is what he says. Lachein sivash l'shlomo kodem binyan habayit. Therefore he commanded Shlomo before the building of the temple, laharoget Yoav, to kill Yoav. V'kamor, just like it says in Bamidbar, v'lo tikhu kofer, you can't take a monetary replacement for somebody who is obligated in the death penalty. So if somebody kills somebody, the family of the slain victim doesn't have any power to forgive the murderer, even if he would offer them all the money in the world. It's a crime against God, and you can't do that. Kedei shelo yehet ikuv lehitgalut hashchina, avur shvichat damim viduk, in order that there won't be any delaying of the revealing of the Shechina because of murder. So the Meshech Chochma might be saying that Yoav's very existence in the fact that he murdered these people and it wasn't really justified might actually be the delay of the Shechina coming into the temple, and therefore Shlomo has to take care of it beforehand. And that doesn't make Shlomo a murderer per se. It makes him an arbiter of justice in terms of taking care of this person who is a murderer, if that makes sense. Ukfi hanir'eh asher sali, and that which is written when David says what Yoav did to me, hu al sheharaget Avshalom. So the Meshech Chachma thinks, agrees with the opinion that the Radak rejected, that this was the killing of Avshalom. Ki David haya savur ki yesh lehit natsel et Avshalom. And now here, I don't know if I translated this correctly. Maybe, Ruth, maybe you can even help me. So David reasoned that he could apologize or make up with Avshalom. So lehit natsel does mean to apologize, but usually the preposition that comes afterwards is mipnei or lifnei. It's not usually et. So I don't know if it actually means that in this case. So if anybody knows more Hebrew in terms of the prepositions, if it still means apologize, maybe it does. So he thought that he could somewhat apologize to Avner, al shehaya muchrach b'gzeirat hanavi, because this was meant, whatever Avshalom did was forced to happen by decree of the Navi. If you remember, after the Bathsheba affair, Natan says to him, through God, hineni mekim alecha ra'a mibitecha v'lekachti et neshecha leinecha v'natati l'reacha. So behold, I will establish upon you an evil from your household, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and I will give them to your friend, v'shachav im nashecha, and he will lie with your wives, le'enei ha'shemesh hazot, in the sun. And that's indeed what Avshalom did. He raped all of David's pilagshot, his concubines. And then I don't know what he's talking about here, but then it says, U'matzati kol zeh baruch Hashem b'ralbag yu'yan sham. So I did see in the Ralbag that he proposes the idea of Avshalom, but I didn't see the rest of this fleshed out in the Ralbag. But that is where he claims he got it from. Okay, so we have this decree from David to follow in all of God's ways to strengthen himself. The Malbim says that there are different ways of acting when it comes to people versus when it comes to God. You should humble yourself and be like a small child. And how is the Yoav connected? So we've seen that the Radak is saying that this is actually a continuation of the justice that you have to pursue in God's Torah, in that you should then kill Yoav because of what he did. And the Malbim, we're going to see later, says maybe he didn't actually tell him to kill him. Maybe he just said to use your wisdom and what to do with him. So we will see that later with the Malbim. But this is all part of David's last will and testament to Shlomo, which we are by no means done with. And there are many other things he's going to tell Shlomo that he has to do. But that was a question of why the Yoav situation seems directly connected with the following the ways of the Torah connection. Okay, thank you, everybody.